was going to be an event, and out of that event, we were going to invade Afghanistan, we were going to invade Iraq, and make it all part of the New World Order, and sure enough, later 9/11 happened, and there's going to be this war on terror, on which there's no real enemy, and the whole thing is a giant hoax, you know, but it's a way for the government to take over the American people. Look, this whole war on terror is a fraud. It's a farce. It's very difficult to say it out loud because people are intimidated against saying it. Because if you say it, they want to make you into a nutcase. The truth has to come out. That's why I'm doing this interview.
The Bush administration's open borders policy and its decision to ignore the enforcement of this country's immigration laws is part of a broader agenda. President Bush signed a formal agreement that will end the United States as we know it. And he took the step without approval from either the U.S. Congress or the people of the United States.
It's a deal that few have even heard of.
It's being done again by very few people at the very top on behalf of the investment class, but the working class of people, political officials across our country from communities, they don't know anything about this.
And dining over Thanksgiving and maybe watching some football games, big government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. Senator Lindsey Graham, who supports this bill, says, quote, "The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not."
Passed tomorrow a bill allowing the American military to imprison American citizens indefinitely without charge or trial.
Congress is essentially authorizing the indefinite imprisonment of American citizens without charge or trial.
Charles Dyer, I'm an Oath Keeper. I'm the 1st Light Armored Reconnaissance Battalion out of in California. I can't imagine that we're living in the times where I have to worry about having to confiscate the weapons from the American people. Is that freedom? It's absolutely not freedom. Did I have to worry that we're gonna quarantine a city for the purposes of keeping them there hostage, like Katrina? Absolutely not. That's not freedom in any way that you can think of it. I'm almost speechless whenever I try to talk about this because I can't imagine that we're living in this kind of time. It really bothers me. Absolutely.
We need a painted picture of what is happening in this country. Let's recognize how history repeats itself. In February 1933, Hitler staged a false flag attack, burning down his own German parliament building, the Reichstag, and blamed it on communists. In the next few weeks, he passed the Enabling Act, which completely eradicated the German constitution, destroying people's liberties. He then led a series of preemptive wars, all justified to the German people as necessary to maintaining homeland security. It's time to wake up.
Welcome to the latest edition of New World Out of Order. What we're going to do first before we actually jump in is I want to give thanks to everybody that's listening out there. We're hosted by Podomatic. Podomatic, they host thousands of podcasts, and they are all categorized. And my podcast is in the news and politics category. And there's about 700 podcasts in that category. And in the short month and a half that we've been publishing podcasts, we've jumped up to number 23 as of last week in popularity. We've got a fair amount of listeners out here, and it's surprising, with the statistics, the tracking statistics that we get on the podcast, we can tell the country of origin and, who's listening, how many's listening, and, countries from all over the world. I think at my last count, there was over 20 different countries that had at least one or more people listening to the podcast. So Hey guys, I appreciate you listening. Share this information with, you know, everybody that you know, speaking primarily to the people in the United States right now, but, you know, really everybody in the world. I think there should be, you know, movements like this going on in every parts of the world. So, but primarily people in the United States, man, share this information with everybody that you know. Now, you know, the people who are totally out there and are not, don't have a clue at all as to what's going on. Yeah, they're going to think, hey, you've lost your rocker or whatever. It's okay. I mean, don't worry about it. I mean, this is, I get this, you know, routinely. That's the first reaction I get from most people. But after a while, you learn how to talk to people. And, you know, you just sit down and you show them information, either on the internet or you show them printed information or you show them some videos and stuff. And you know, let them know that, hey, this is real and it's extremely important. In my view, there's not a more important subject besides my family than getting this message out and getting this movement stopped. And that is the movement of what we're going to discuss today. Okay. Appreciate all the listeners being out there. Hey, now this episode is going to be on what is behind all of the turmoil, all the problems in the world today, and primarily the United States, also the world, whether it be political, economic, military, social. It all goes back to House of Rothschild, and that is the Rothschild family. Now, most people have never heard of the Rothschilds. You might have heard of the Rothschilds' wine or champagne. It's the same family, but it's the Rothschilds are the head of the world financial institution. They essentially control the world. And I know that sounds extremely out there. It's not. That's what we're going to talk about today. Now, the information that I'm going to share with you today has been summarized, a fantastic summary of the history of the Rothschilds by a guy named Andrew Hitchcock. The article that I'm looking at, this summary, is on a website called www.iamthewitness.com, www.iamthewitness.com. And the article is called Daryl Bradford Smith _ Rothschild. And that's Daryl Bradford Smith _ Rothschild. I'm not sure why it's actually called that, but the article is actually written by Andrew Hitchcock. It's just essentially a timeline of the history of the Rothschilds and the events since the start of the movement, which began back in essentially 1743 and goes up to today. Now, also on here, I'm going to put a link to this on my website as well. I'm also going to list maybe bits and pieces of this as well, along with the resources that Mr. Hitchcock used for developing this. You know, I've read some of these books, has really brought me to my knowledge level today, but there are many books here that I haven't read that I'm looking forward to. He has come out with a wealth of information here. I've been aware of probably, I'm going to say, 50% of this, what's stated on here. And the other 50% is just, is very eye-opening, really is. I'm not going to sit here and read straight through this. You guys can do that. It's actually quick reading. Like I say, it's a timeline listing of events that have happened in the history of the Rothschild family and how you can get an understanding of how they do control the world by way of controlling the world's financial systems. And, of course, and that's directly stated by the Rothschilds. Give brief history here. The first Rothschild was Mayor Amschel Bauer, and you'll notice his last name was not Rothschild. Born in Germany, he was a banker. Back then they called him a moneylender and a proprietor of a counting house. So he owned a bank, essentially, and perhaps an accounting firm. He posts a sign above his business, his counting house, and it's a red sign with a hexagram on it, and it's a six-pointed star. That hexagram will eventually become the symbol that's on the Israeli flag. So anyway, his son, you know, his name was Mayor Amschel Bauer, and his son actually changes his name from Bauer to Rothschild. To break it down, Rot in German is stands for red, and Schild in German stands for sign. So he's essentially Red Sign, which is for the red sign that's hanging over their business. the Rothschilds are Jews, but they are not Jews. They are what's called Ashkenazi Jews. It means Jewish people who are not Jewish by blood. Group of Jewish people who primarily lived in Germany and southern Russia and that area that adopted the Jewish faith. They're called Ashkenazi Jews. Not really Jews by blood. What I've read is that approximately 80 to 90% of the Jewish population in the world are not really Jew. They're actually the Ashkenazi Jews. That's just a little bit of trivia. As it turns out, the actual Rothschilds, not only are they not real Jews, they do, you know, call themselves Jews. They are actually do not believe in a religion whatsoever. Back in 1776, they formulated their plans for what they called the Illuminati. And you've heard that term before, and it's always been associated with conspiracy theory. And the Illuminati was an actual group that was devised by the Rothschilds in 1776. And the original drafting of the purpose of the Illuminati was to control the populations. I'm not sure if it was really on the grand scale of the world at that particular time, but it was to control people, you know, essentially in their country at a minimum. Now, they had four methods in order to control people. And this is in the original doctrine of the Illuminati. The first one was to use monetary and sex bribery to obtain control of men that are already in high places and in various levels of government. And the second is to use colleges and universities to cultivate. They were primarily after the affluent colleges and universities that would educate the wealthy students and also the more intellectual students. So if they were able to gain control of those colleges and universities, they essentially had some of the wealthiest and smartest people in that area that they could actually control what they learned and how they thought. The third thing was that all influential people trapped into coming under the control of the Illuminati were to be placed behind the scenes of governments, you know, as experts and specialists and advisors, and that would give them, you know, somewhat of a control of the government. The fourth way to control people was to obtain absolute control of the press. And there again, this is back in 1776. You know, pretty sharp back then. They had a good understanding of how to control people. They knew that in order to control people, they needed to control what the people read, the information that they were given. That was essentially the doctrine of the Illuminati as it was drawn up by the Rothschilds, 1776. Rothschilds, they learned very quickly that, you know, in order to make a lot of money, that, you know, finance a war. A lot of money in war. A whole lot more money in financing both sides of the war. And then there's also a whole lot more money than that in starting the war so that you can finance both sides of the war. So they learned that very quick, created the War of 1812, you know, between the British and the United States. They, of course, financed both sides of that one. That particular war, the War of 1812, was actually over United States dissolving the Rothschilds' central bank in the United States at that time, which was called the First Bank of the United States. Covered some of that in the Federal Reserve podcast we did, but we're going to go back and revisit it a little bit. You know, Rothschilds had been creating the central banks in Europe, you know, France and England and Italy, Germany. And by creating the central banks, what they were doing is they were taking over the control, the creation and the control of that country's money. To be able to take over that, they would apply those four methods of the Illuminati and how to control people. So once they got control of the people they wanted to get control of, they were able to institute their central bank, which gave them complete control over that country's monetary system. They had complete control of the value of money, how much money there was, inflation, recession, depression. They've got complete control over it, which gives you complete control over the country. And that goes back to a statement from actually 1790. Mayor Amschel Rothschild states, he says, "Let me issue and control a nation's money, and I care not who writes the laws. They do control just about every nation's money. Before 9/11, there was seven or eight countries that did not have a central bank. In my first podcast, I incorrectly reported that there was only two in the country, in the world, that didn't have a central bank. As of September the 11th, there was eight at that time. And of the ones that did not have a central bank at that time was Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Libya, Sudan, Cuba. If you just kind of keep in mind the Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Libya, take a look around at what's going on in the world today, what's going on in those countries. Rothschilds know if they control a nation's money, they control the laws. They don't care who writes the laws. They had a central bank in the United States. It was called the First Bank of the United States. 1811, the charter for that bank runs out, and Congress votes not to renew it, which upset Nathan Mayer Rothschild, who was actually the predominant Rothschild at the time. And he stated, he said, either the application for renewal of the charter is granted, or the United States will find itself involved in a most disastrous war. This was 1811. Well, next year, 1812, was the War of 1812. This was originated by the Rothschilds. It was backed by Rothschild money. Rothschild financed the British side as well as the United States side. I'm sure he didn't finance the United States as much as the British. This was a money-making effort as well as a lesson to be taught to the United States by the Rothschilds. When this country was formed, one of the big reasons that it was formed, that we actually left, was to get away from the corrupt monetary system that was in England at the time. The Founding Fathers, they really stressed to not allow these type of central banks into the United States, fought hard to do it, and were successful at times. You know, the First Bank of the United States was brought in. Of course, they were able to get rid of it. 1816, Rothschilds were successful at getting another central bank charter in the United States. And this one bank was called the Second Bank of the United States. It was given a 20-year charter. So now they've got control of the United States' money again. Along with having that control of the money, you must remember the four methods to which they control people. That is through monetary and sex bribery of men that are already in high places in government and other fields of influence. And then to control the press. Well, what you need to understand is that it's either the largest or the second largest lobbying effort is AIPAC, American Israel Public Affairs Committee. And that is the largest lobbying group in the United States. 65,000 on a payroll. Headquarters, if I remember right, is in Chicago. And they have extreme, extreme influence over our government. Interesting, if you just do your own search, the Rothschild influence into our government, Ashkenazi influence into our government, politicians that are actually within our government, have been in our government, that are Ashkenazi Jews. Henry Kissinger is a big one that was in our government. He is an Ashkenazi Jew, and he's a huge supporter of the Illuminati effort. He actually did his doctoral dissertation was on the Congress of Vienna. And the Congress of Vienna was a meeting pulled together by the Rothschilds. They were trying to organize and to promote their cause with other leaders of Europe at the time. Until then, they had been very successful at that. Even going into the Congress of Vienna, they had already had the majority of Europe, the European countries, those governments, influenced heavily, already fighting for the Illuminati's agenda. One person at the Congress of Vienna that did not vehemently denied joining forces with them was Tsar Alexander I of Russia. Interesting stories behind him and Tsar Alexander II of Russia in their fights against the Rothschilds and their central banks. Alexander II and Lincoln actually kind of joined up, and Alexander II came to Lincoln's aid, or our aid, during the Civil War when the Rothschilds threatened the United States and threatened Lincoln. So anyway, Russia actually sent some ships over here into the port of San Francisco and the port of New York and offered some protection at those two main entry points. Anyway, there's a lot of influence from the Ashkenazi Jews in the United States government. And there again, when I talk about the Ashkenazi Jews, and I mentioned this, you know, we've just been indoctrinated to, if anybody talks about Jews in a certain way, that they're, oh no, that's just terrible, awful, awful. Listen, I have nothing against Jewish people, Jewish religion, whatever, okay? I have a lot against the Rothschild movement, the Illuminati movement, and they so happen to be Ashkenazi Jews, so be it. There again, turns out that all the people that's associated with them, direct areas of influence, in other words, their agents, the people they put out here and stuff, they're all Ashkenazi Jews too. So that's the commonality between them. For me, it is definitely not a direct assault against Ashkenazi Jews, Orthodox Jews, or at all. I have no problem with that whatsoever. The first bank in the United States got kicked out. The second bank came in. It was kicked out by Andrew Jackson. He fought extremely hard to get that bank removed, and he did. He was threatened. Andrew Jackson, he was asked right before his death what he regarded as his greatest achievement, and he replied immediately. He said, "I killed the bank. I killed the bank." He knew, they all knew, and we all know. The people who understand this know that it's the worst thing in the world, is this the Rothschild Illuminati movement and the central banking system, which has this whole world under their control. To get rid of the central banking system in the United States, the Federal Reserve, and to cut ties with all of the Rothschild movement, the Illuminati, I guess, it's not going to be easy. 65,000 members of AIPAC, they have a couple of 100,000 people in this country that are in one way or the other fighting for that cause. It's going to be extremely difficult. And they have absolute full control over our money. And they have full control over the money of countries that we trade with. So in other words, if we were to come and try to cut ties immediately with the Federal Reserve, kick them out, which is what we should do, it's going to be very, very painful for us. They are going to make sure it's extremely painful for us. It's okay. We just need to be willing to take that sacrifice so that essentially our country can be restored. The future of our country can be guaranteed for our kids and future generations. I mean, this is it's just something that it's a sacrifice that I have no problem making whatsoever. And I hope most other people will be willing to do the same, because it's going to be very, very difficult, be very, very painful. When I say painful and difficult, I'm talking specifically about extreme, extreme inflation, food shortages, fuel shortages. You just got to understand, they control all of that right now. Until we can get that control back and get essentially our independence back, we have the resources here to be predominantly independent. Now, there's, you know, a lot of things that we're used to that we go to other countries to get. You know, supposedly right now our petroleum, we get the majority of that outside of the United States. That doesn't mean we don't have the ability to have that amount of petroleum produced here or pumped out here. In order to do that, you can imagine it's going to take a long time to get that type of petroleum production up to speed. We are so, so addicted to Chinese products, primarily because of the price point. You know, that's not by accident. All the trade agreements that were put into place over the years, you know, starting out with the GATT, all these trade agreements, that's exactly what they're designed to do, is to take away a country's independence. It's another chip of taking away that country's sovereignty, making them reliant on other countries. If it wasn't for such a devious motive, I'm not going to say it's not going to be a bad thing, but the motive here and the reason is very bad. It's for world domination by a very few amount of people. And that's not what we need at all. As you can imagine right now, if we kicked them out and they cut off our shipments from China, of course, China's going to hurt monetarily, but that's not going to hurt as much as we hurt, because we don't get the goods and stuff, and the things that we want and used to buying are not available, at least at that price. And the price that they are available at has inflated drastically. It's exactly what we need to do. You know, this country needs to go back to being, you know, manufacturer. We need to be lead industry in every area. There's no reason that we can't, no reason that we shouldn't. And if people want to buy from us, fantastic, buy from us. But if people want to, you know, import to us, then that's great too. But you're going to be taxed to where there's not going to be a price advantage to where it's going to be more advantageous for people to buy products from other countries and therefore shut down American industry. And that's only common sense. Keeps everything on a level playing field. And every country in the world should be like that. They should be able to sustain their self. And if they need help or they need to get supplies or resources or from other countries, they are very welcome to do that. But it's not going to be at a price advantage that is going to benefit a small group of people. Just common sense. All those trade agreements, there is an underlying motive for that. What they're telling you about, it's going to be way of the future. We have to be a global market. No. That's a bunch of crap. We can be a global market, but not at the expense of not retaining your own industry, your own ability to create and supply the people of your country with the goods and services that they need. You don't need to be relying on everyone else. That's extremely dangerous. It's so easy for people to get control of you, and that's exactly what they're trying to do. All right, that was a little bit of a rant, kind of getting off on the side here, but keyword of the day is the Rothschilds. If you're not aware of them, you need to be aware of them. Okay, I highly suggest that you go out here and read this summation of the House of Rothschild, www.iamthewitness.com. The article is it's called Daryl Bradford Smith _ Rothschild, written by Andrew Hitchcock. You're going to discover a lot of information here, which is just going to blow your mind if you're totally new to this. It's just absolutely going to blow your mind. This has been going on for so long, and so many people have known about it and have not been able to stop it. You know, there's been so many warnings put out. The leaders, you know, don't heed the warnings, primarily because they're being either blackmailed or they're being just bought off. It's just extremely important that people, you know, understand this. President Kennedy was assassinated by the Rothschilds. President Kennedy was totally against the Federal Reserve System, the central banking system, and he vowed to get rid of it. And he actually issued an executive order. It's Executive Order 11110. It's 11110, and it said that the United States would bring back the power to create and control its own money. Rothschilds absolutely were not going to have that. About the 1960s, man, they had their claws deep into America now. They were making tons and tons and tons of money off of America now. So they're not going to allow this to happen. And they took him out. It's a very interesting story to read about the real assassination or what really happened. It's a great book out. It's actually on the list. This is one of the resources he used. The book is called The Elite Serial Killings of Lincoln, JFK, RFK, MLK, by Robert Galen Ross. You want to understand how Lincoln was assassinated, why he was assassinated? You got to read this book. What's interesting is after Kennedy was assassinated, on the plane, on Air Force One, when took the oath to assume the office of presidency, the very first thing that he did while he was on that flight was he rescinded Executive Order 11110. The order that took away the Rothschilds' hands into our monetary system. The President of the United States has just been assassinated. Johnson is on the plane, and he's on the plane with Jackie Kennedy, grieving. It just has to be extremely somber. He takes the oath of office, and he can't even wait. The very first thing he does is he rescinds that executive order. You just have to use common sense. It's interesting. It's back in 1907, people within the Illuminati, working directly with Rothschild, actually drew up plans for three world wars. Like I say, it was drew up in 1907. This was before any of the world wars happened. She lays out what's going to be the cause, what's going to be the reason, what's going to be the publicly stated reason for the wars. And he defines them. World War One, you can go back and compare, you know, what happened versus what they had written down in 1907 and realize it's the same thing. World War Two, you can do the same thing. Look at actually what happened. How did people get into this war? What was this war started about? And go back and read a document from 1907 where they laid out the premise for the Second World War. It just blows my mind that they were able to lay out those wars, or, you know, already design those wars so far in advance. But they also have designs for World War III. They talk exactly about it, how it's going to be putting the Muslims against the rest of the world, primarily Christians and Jews, and it's going to be in the Middle East, and it's talking exactly about what's going on today. You got to use common sense there. You've got to give that some amount of credit for what's going on there. That should be, if nothing else, something brings you in to get you to start reading about this stuff and learning about what's really going on here. So anyway, Second Bank of the United States was taken out by Andrew Jackson, and then the Federal Reserve was brought back in 1913. Of course, we still have that. One of the ways they did that, they actually blackmailed Woodrow Wilson. He actually, before he became president, he was a professor at, he had an affair with another professor's wife. They blackmailed him for $40,000. And they said, either you will release this information or you give us the next appointee for the Supreme Court. You know, you appoint who we want you to appoint. And they did. They actually appointed a Ashkenazi Jew to that position. And which actually was later on was very significant into us entering the war, World War I, which, you know, Woodrow Wilson's, you know, on the second term, he ran saying that he would never put us into war, and he actually did. You need to go out here and read up on Rothschilds if you want to know where the peak is. And there again, on the back of your $1 bill, pyramid with the all-seeing eye, the Latin phrase there, which means the new age of order. What you're looking at, that all-seeing eye, that is the Illuminati. The pyramid is essentially the structure of the world. Of course, you can go out here on the internet and look up, you know, the New World Order, and you can get the pyramid structure of the New World Order. What you really need to understand, you know, just check out this article that I'm referring to, this chronology of the House of Rothschild. And there again, it's on www.iamthewitness.com. When you read it, all of it, part of it, or whatever, come down and look at the resources that he used, okay? Pick up some of these books and read them. Go research the authors first. Make sure you understand. Make sure you're comfortable that these authors are credible. They know what they're talking about. That they are not financed by any particular person, group, or whatever, because there's a lot of that goes on, you know. And check into this. That's extremely important. If you want to know what's really going on in the world, who controls absolutely everything in this world, it is the House of Rothschild. The first thing that we have to do is we have to realize, with any problem that any person ever has, is the first thing you have to do is acknowledge that there is a problem. That's what we're trying to do right now, is trying to get people to understand there is a problem. Everybody that listens to this, I want you to take your time to look into this. You've got to understand, and you've got to spread the word. You have to spread the word. I want to wrap that up. Please go out there, check out iamthewitness.com. Also check out my blog, which is nwo3.com/blog. That's nwo3.com/blog. Or you can go straight to my Podomatic website for the podcast. Some write-ups on there as well. And we also have some links, which same links will be on the nwo3. .com/blog website as well. The Podomatic is inworld03. That's inworld03.podomatic.com. Give us some feedback. Let us know what you think about what you're listening to. Let us know what you're doing to spread the word on this. You know, who you're getting involved with. In other podcasts, I've recommended, highly recommended, you know, givemeliberty.org, wethepeople.org, which is the same group, and then also Oath Keepers. And Oath Keepers right now is very, very, very important for people to join up with, because the laws that are being put in place in this country right now, the most recent one with National Defense Authorization Act just being recently signed, that allows our military to come in and arrest and detain American citizens without charge or trial for an indefinite period of time. So in other words, they can come to your house and lock you up for no reason. No reason. And they can lock you up for as long as they want to. And they don't have to tell you why, and you don't get a trial. Okay? That is law now. That is law. What is important right now based on where we're at with the Constitution being totally shredded. But in order to protect American citizens right now from that, what we have to do is we have to make sure that the that our military and our law enforcement are aware of the behind the scenes, what's going on here, what's really going on, and make sure that they commit to their oath to protect the Constitution from enemies, foreign and domestic. And our most threatening enemy right now is domestic. Our most threatening enemy is domestic. Everybody do their part. Get involved. Don't get down about it. Don't let it get you depressed. It is what it is. There's only one thing to do, and that's to stand up, fight for your rights, fight for this country, fight for the Constitution, and let's get this thing back on track. It's going to take a while, but it's got to start somewhere, and you have an input. You can do something. You're doing something right now by listening to this. Now, your next step is go out here and get associated and join up with Oath Keepers. I recommend that. That's doing something. Join up with Give Me Liberty. There's a bunch of other groups out there, too. I like these two groups. I really do. There's a bunch of other ones as well. Go out there and join up. Let your voice be heard that way. That's going to get you started. It really will. So there's something that you can do. Everybody can do something. It's the power of the people here. Okay, guys, thanks for tuning in, and you guys have a good week.